Now, more presentations from people involved in the assistive technology industry given at the VidPi seminar, that's Visually Impaired Data Processors International, that occurred at the convention of the American Council of the Blind in Louisville in July. Beginning now with John Mattioli in a different capacity.
Greetings, everybody. I'd like to tell you a little story by way of introducing you to what's going on with Kurzweil 1000. At this time last year, the part of VidPi program chair was played by none other but myself, and I did not run for the position again because I knew that things were going to be changing in my life, and I was unbelievably right. I'm now living in Massachusetts, working for Lerna and Hospi in the Kurzweil Educational Systems Group. And about a week after I got there, my boss, who is Steve Baum, anybody on the Kurzweil list knows this name, came into my office and told me about a feature that I believe there was one or two customers requesting. So I got to work on it, and I went back to him with some software about a week, or less than a week later, and he took a look, and we worked together to integrate it all. And he came to me, I started on this on a Monday, he came to me on Friday and said, it's going to the beta list. And I said, what? And since then, I've gotten a very clear message that what this company is about is responding to customer requests. I think I'd maybe been there 2 weeks by the time this was all done, and it went out to the beta list and made it into version 5. It was quite a wake-up call for somebody who had been working at Pitney Bowes and had not necessarily been writing code and getting it out anywhere near that quickly. Since I've been there, I've been very impressed with how quickly people at LNH respond to the customers. Because we want to respond to customers, we want to hear from you, we have toll-free tech support. We want to talk to you. We want you to talk to us. If you have problems, give us a call. We'll help you through it 12 hours a day, something like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. That's Eastern time. So we've got the phones covered all the time. The basic reason you buy a product like K1000, of course, is to have accurate, quick recognition of your text. We have two of the best OCR engines in the business, and these engines update themselves, I'd say, on average once a year. So if you're investing in OCR technology, it's to your benefit to invest in a product that gets out as frequently as possible, because chances are you'll get the latest and greatest, newest version of an OCR engine quicker that way. I think maybe the hottest feature in version 5 is the table reading feature, and we will be able to show you that. It's a feature which will detect that you're in a table, and it will stop the straightforward reading of your document and begin reading in a manner such as this. Say a budget type data. It would be something like salary, 1997, $25,000, 1996, $24,000, 1995, $23,000. And then it would go to the next line, and it would read the row and column heading again and keep reading the column headings as it goes across. So it gives you information as you want it. This, of course, assumes that your table has row and column headings, but, of course, a lot don't. So we give you keys that you can move up, down, left, and right in the cells of the table and read it the way you'd like. It's a pretty hot feature, and it's something you should really also check out. Something that I personally really like is Braille translation completely embedded in the product. We can load grade 2 Braille files, we can save grade 2 Braille files, we can emboss grade 2 Braille, all within Kurzweil 1000. Any of you using web Braille, you'll love this because it works terrifically. So that's nice. We also have an application launch feature if you want to bring your document into Microsoft Word. Not only can we do that, we'll launch it Word for you and feed your document to Word, we can actually convert your document to Word format and feed that to Word so that Word gets as accurate a representation of the document as we can give it. Zip files. If you have a zip file that's full of documents, the K1000 will view it as a directory. You can move things into zip files, you can move things out of zip files, and it just acts exactly as if it's a directory. A very nice feature. Something else that's very small but I like a lot is the fact that you can pass a file name to the Kurzweil 1000 executable on the command line. I have Duxbury on my system at work, and I also have K1000. And I've set it up so that if I hit Control F10, I get a context menu which includes the read command. Don't see that on most files, the read command. But if you hit read, it will actually bring that file up in K1000, back translated and ready to go for BRL, BRF, or BFM files. It's very nice. Time is short. I want to make sure I give you our our phone number. You can call us at 800-894-5374. For tech support, 800-905-9005. For a website, www.lhsl.com/education. Get in touch with us and let us know what you think. For the low vision users in the room, we are showing in the booth a new product which we'd like everybody to take a look at. It's a magnification system, something on the on the lines of a software-based CCTV with several other features built in. If you're once this product is released, if you're a Kurzweil 1000 owner with SMA in effect, you will have this product given to you if you call and ask for it absolutely free for a limited time. Let me tell you about our show prices. We have a show special for a first-time reading machine, reading software purchaser, $795. We have a competitive upgrade for $395. And, of course, the SMA, which I believe is $129, for two upgrades. So come on by, talk to us, and let us know particularly if there are new features you'd like to see, if there's something you particularly like, maybe you want to see it enhanced, or something you hate and you want to see it go away and replaced with something else. Just let us know, and we'll see what we can do to keep you happy.
John.
Yes.
Two questions. A, Braille. Braille correction, or correction files, sorry for this. Oh, here's the creature. Okay. Correction files for the .brf format. Should we send our correction files to you, as it seems that the NFB translates slightly glitchy on certain words or kinds of words?
We have, as you pointed out, a modified version of the NFB trans system in K1000. The translation tables do have some problems. If you find some, please let me know about it.
Excellent. I send you my .core file, okay, or whatever. The other thing, are there more Jennifer siblings coming down the line? Or should I say
Jennifer?
Jennifer is it's the initial release of this new speech engine.
Yes.
Those of you who were around when the initial Deck Talk came out are probably familiar with a similarly responsive or not so responsive system. Jennifer is one of LNH's main items. They do speech recognition, speech synthesis, language translation. That's their big stuff. They're always working on new Jennifers, new voices, new languages, etc. Chances are pretty good that we'll have a newer, bigger, better version. Yes?
I'm illiterate, but I'm just curious about something. I thought you made a statement about a file being changed from one format into Windows. Is that correct?
We have built into K1000 conversion from our file format to some unbelievably large number of file formats, something like 150 or something, different file formats. I guess if you can name it, we can probably convert it. But come by the booth and you can ask for a specific one.
So
we will do that conversion if necessary when you launch an application.
So in actuality, you can take a Windows and convert it into something else.
We can open a Windows a Microsoft Word file and read it in our software. We can open an HTML file and read it. We can actually open a PDF file and read it. Not if you know what's good for you. Any other questions? We're booth five. I don't know if I said. We're booth five. I don't know if I said that. So come by and take a look. If you want to talk to me, I'm in 449. Thanks.
Okay, we have IBM and their home page reader. Are you ready?
Thank you very much, folks. And I have to apologize. I think that. Yesterday morning when I packed my luggage, I inadvertently forgot to pack my brains. So I just plain forgot that I had a commitment here, and but I'm happy that I found my brain in time before the end of the meeting. So I'm Guido Corona, representing... This is turned off? No, it works. Representing IBM Corporation. Formerly, we were known as the IBM Special Needs Systems, and now we have a new global mission worldwide, and we are known as the IBM Accessibility Center. The North American branch of the IBM Accessibility Center is still based in Austin, Texas, but we have a very busy brethren in our Tokyo research lab doing work for Japan and the Indo-Pacific. What we are showing here at ACB is the IBM homepage reader version 2.5.1, which is the talking web browser that some of you may have seen last year. As several people may not have really seen the latest version 2.5 or 2.5.1, I'd be happy to run quickly through some of the salient changes that we have made. As you know, the homepage reader is a talking web browser which utilizes the IBM Out Loud text-to-speech engine, which is a derivative of the ETI Eloquence. We now ship a text-to-speech in... I keep missing this thing. In 60 different languages, that is American English, U.S. English, French, German, Italian, and Spanish Castilian. And version 2.5 and 2.5.1 of the homepage reader actually will switch language on the fly automatically by doing language analysis of the page. So if you happened on an Italian page, there's a very good chance that the system is going to switch to Italian. And and if you're on a Spanish page, it will switch to Spanish, and so on. It's only on some travel sites that, for some odd reasons, it insists to speak Spanish. But that's mostly because I haven't seen travel sites that are full of tildes. For reasons totally unknown to me. So one of the things that we have introduced, of course, is the override, where the user can force the system back to his or her favorite language. It's very useful. But to be honest with you, I've seen only travel sites that have the pervasive tilde problem. And if someone can tell me why there are tildes in travel sites, well, I'd be indebted forever. Besides the language switching, as you well know, the homepage reader is unique in that it distinguishes links from non-links with a voice change. And currently we switch from a male voice for standard text to a female voice for links, so that we have a very, very compact representation of a page, which is all we want. The site links enjoy distinguishing links with a color change, and they would not be terribly impressed by having to read a link here and link there at every link. They're happy with the color change. So we thought that a voice change was about as compact as a color change and as non-obtrusive. For those who really want to, it is always possible to change to link, 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 or ping, ping, ping. And because some of our audience requested also the very non-obtrusive mode in which you will not be told that something is a link. Believe it or not, someone wanted it, so we have done that. After all, like L and H, we are responsive to our customers. So it seemed to be a reasonable feature, and we introduced that too. We have very advanced table navigation, and we had that for the last year or so, actually, which works in the obvious and predictable way. When you find a table that looks like a reasonable table, not simply a 2x2, where you might as well dispense with it, but if you have a nice 2x10 or a 10x12 or whatever, you can go in advanced table navigation and roam around by cell, up and down, left and right, and also you can go around in such a way that if you release all keys, you'll be back at where you left off, so you don't lose your way in extremely large tables. Besides that, we have navigation by structures, which is very interesting for complex pages that have complex layouts with a lot of tables and a lot of forms, where you can just get the outline of things rather than getting into the details. We have a mode to jump to the top of every table. And, of course, frames are no object or no issue. It's very, very easy to navigate with frames. Yes, question? Sorry. And forms are quite all right. We do essentially all the controls in the form without major issues. The cost of a homepage reader is as follows. A demo is free of charge for 30 days, which contains the full product. And you can either get it from us at the booth number 27, or download it from the net at, let me think, ibm.com/able, and then follow the obvious links and you'll find the demo. And the product itself can either be purchased online, either as a CD for $149 or as a download for $129, or purchased from a number of the special needs dealers. And also you can shop for it on the internet. It has been rumored that it has been found heavily discounted from some of the major software vendors. I'm open to question. We are working currently on the next generation of our product, which is in the medium stages of development. We are very busy right now with it. We have a good number of programmers and planners and testers working on the product, and we hope to show it somewhere later on in the year. Any questions? Sure.
Can you or will you support JavaScript?
The answer is no, and of course, yes. No, the current version 2.5 is not supportive of JavaScript. And yes, one of the prime reasons for getting busy with the next generation is to be able to support JavaScript.
Great.
Super.
Will that software itself again have a screen reader running with it?
Sorry, there is a lot of noise in the background. I cannot hear you.
I just wondered whether it has its own speech engine or whether we have to run JAWS or some other screen reader in conjunction with it.
Excellent question, and I should have brought that up. IBM homepage reader, including the demo, comes with its own text-to-speech. It is a full-blown version of the multilingual IBM Via Voice Out Loud text-to-speech, which comes with English, UK English, French, Italian, German, and Castilian Spanish. And in fact, when you take the demo copy that we have at the booth and you install it and it times out after 30 days, the out loud text-to-speech relinquishes to time out. We're truly sorry for that, but you may be able to use it until you uninstall it yourself.
I have a question.
Sure.
Since obviously you're going to be focusing on web technologies for your browser,
yes.
Is it going to be supporting the C-flat operating language that just came out by Microsoft?
To be honest with you, this is the first instance that I hear the word C-flat.
It's a language. Yeah, they just came out. They want the C-flat language to be similar to C and C++, and it's going to compete directly with JavaScript for web-based languages.
I think that...
Thanks, Microsoft.
When C-flat is introduced as part of a possible future upcoming-to-be generation of web browser, mm-hmm. It is something that we will look at very seriously.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. If no more questions, then thank you very much.
Next, Sendero.
This is Mike May from the Sendero Group, and you won't get rid of me that easily. I'm not for sale yet. Thanks very much for the opportunity to spend a little time and for your patience. I think you'd be interested in the latest and greatest that's happening with location technology. I'm going to be talking about Atlas and its new iterations, and then GPS, and also mobile computing. In a short period of time, that's a lot to cover, so I'd advise you to come by the booth and we can talk a little bit more or email afterwards. The Sendero Group licensed the Atlas and Strider technology from Arkenstone back before other kinds of things like that were going on. And this is something we've been talking about for quite some time because as Vice President of Sales at Arkenstone, I had the opportunity to be involved with the original development of Atlas. And for a long time, I was the only user in the world of Strider, for about 4 years, as a matter of fact. And I got pretty tired presenting a product that you all couldn't go out and purchase. So I'm very happy to be here today to tell you that you can purchase it today, tomorrow, and there'll be future versions whenever you happen to be ready for it. The product is now called GPS Talk, and that's the Striderized version of Atlas. Since we've taken over in January, we came out with an Atlas version 1.7 in late March, and we've upgraded that another time. We just released GPS Talk 1.8, so we're on our second iteration of the Strider now GPS Talk version. What are those? Some of you have Atlas and have heard about it and know what that is. It's a digital electronic map, a talking map with 2 gigabytes of data of the entire United States and other countries being added as quickly as we can. That's mostly an effort of licensing the map data. We also have points of interest. One of the big things we just added in our current 1.8 GPS talk was 250,000 points of interest. And this is just the beginning because there are two companies that build this data, and I don't know how they do it. It's got to be an incredible collections process. Maybe they have former people from the KGB working for them or something, who are out of work, but now they need... I've actually seen people putting this together, 900 people at this one plant in Belgium, where they're putting in and correcting sidewalk information and street information and on and on and on. So it's good that somebody's out there doing that for the commercial market. This is a big part of what makes Atlas and now a GPS version possible. The commercial market is driving this technology. The military technology started it. Now the commercial market is using it, which makes it affordable for you and I. So you take this giant database that's being updated for other commercial purposes, and it's made affordable for us. The same thing's happening with the hardware. You take the talking map, and you plug in a commercial GPS receiver. You now have a GPS talk. So the main thing that Sendero Group is doing really is the software, the user interface development, based on the original Atlas talking interface. This is the same thing that we're using, and just making it better and adding features and so forth. There's also a certain amount of glue that puts this all together. One of the issues in using a GPS system is how conveniently can you carry it around? I've talked about price and size that have gotten smaller and less over time due to the commercial market. But what about the convenience of it? We do this by in a couple different ways. We have a special pack that we're just releasing at this show. We don't even have a name on it yet, but for lack of a better term right now, I call it an e-pack. And this e-pack is a result of my 4 years of using this and hauling around 27 different devices, a memo recorder, a Braille and Speak, a tape recorder, all of this different stuff. And short of having a wagon, I had a backpack. And over 4 years of time, I had a lot of experience developing what is the best way to carry all this stuff that suits all the different situations. Sometimes I want to carry a bunch of stuff, sometimes one thing. So we made this four-function pack that has all kinds of little openings to route cables if you want to connect two things together that are in different compartments, dividers that can be adjusted. So now if you buy a complete system from a dealer, they can put this together for you, or you could buy it and put it together yourself if you already have your own laptop. So that's kind of the glue that puts it together and makes it convenient for using in a bus, in a car, on a train, or even walking around. The other real blessing was on May 1st when President Clinton, with a stroke of a pen, increased our accuracy from 100 meters to 20 meters or better. This was really quite amazing because in 1996 I was at the White House when they said and they announced they would be turning this stuff off, and then after a couple of years I thought they never would do it. It finally happened, and that really means that the accuracy is pretty darn good. When it says you're on a certain street, your likelihood that that's correct is quite high. The products that you're able to get and right now are the entire Atlas of the U.S., which is $400, pretty much what it has been for quite some time. People who already have Atlas can upgrade to either a newer version or to the GPS talk. And, of course, you can get a GPS talk new. And our goal was to make this a package that was on par with commercial products, which is somewhat unheard of in the adaptive technology business. You often expect to pay 3, 4, 10 times as much as similar access for sighted people. So with this quality of maps and GPS, you're paying anywhere from $700 to $900, which is actually a better price, a lower price than similar commercial products. In terms of mobile computing, this is the other thing that makes this equation make sense. And this really wasn't possible a year ago or two or three years ago when the original Strider was being worked on. My option at that point was an 8-pound laptop, which was pretty good. I still have that laptop, and I like it. It's 150 megahertz. It's great. It's got everything built into one box. But certainly the fact that you can do the same thing for 4 pounds or 3 or 2 or less is great, and they're cheaper. You're not paying any more money for a laptop now than you were 3 or 4 years ago. It's the same price, and you get a lot more for it. So if you come by our booth, we'll show you a couple of neat little, they're almost palm tops, but they're running Windows 98. One is a Casio that's the size of a paperback book, just a little bit bigger footprint than a BrailleSpeak. Another is a Cybernaut wearable computer. It's a commercial-grade, military-grade computer, more money, but extremely durable. And there's quite a few others on the market. Most of the manufacturers have these under 1-inch thick computers that are under 3 pounds. So with this laptop platform, you have a particularly light system. So what we're doing is not necessarily packaging this for you. Some of our dealers may, but we're just researching which are the neatest, smallest laptops or notebooks, sub-notebooks that are accessible. So we can tell you, here are 3 or 4 that we think are pretty neat. You can use yours or use this one. Come by and check those out. And the story about mobile computing is that it's the platform that allows you to use multiple applications. I don't think I would recommend that you go out and buy a laptop just so you can run GPS talk. If you've got some extra money you want to throw away, then great, do it. But there's a lot more value to it than just having navigation. Navigation's great. It's wonderful to know what's around you. But the fact is you can run your word processing, your database, all the other applications off the same notebook. And when you think about it, the time you have in a car or in various forms of vehicles, take advantage of that with a good, powerful machine. 200, 300, 400, 500 megahertz machines on your laptop in a bus. And while you're working on your word processor, the GPS talk can be monitoring your progress and announce to you when it's time for your bus stop or telling you what businesses are around. A really major part of the value of this is not just navigation, but information access. With all of these points of interest, the thing that I've determined for me personally I enjoy the most is knowing what's around as I'm driving along. I have an earphone in, I'm talking to my wife or whoever's driving, and I can carry on a conversation, and in the background, it's telling me the name of the city or the museum that we're passing, or if I'm getting hungry, I might load the restaurant file and start monitoring the nearest restaurants. I mean, you normally have maybe 1% access to the information that a sighted person chooses to give you. You're dependent upon the driver. And if it's a taxi driver, you might have less than that. You might have negative information. And so it's really valuable to have your own independent access to what's around you based on this location identification. To get more information, come by our booth. Beyond Sight is our national distributor, and they will work with any of your local dealers. We have all the information up at the booth 62. You can also get on our website, senderogroup.com. That's S-E-N-D-E-R-O group. Sendero, pathway in Spanish, group.com. So check us out, and we want to get your feedback and get you upgraded and whatever else we can do to make it so that I am no longer the single user of Strider in the world, but we have a whole ton of GPS talk users. Thank you very much. Yes?
I mean, some of us have Atlas already. And
$429 to upgrade to GPS talk.
That's just the Atlas upgrade, or
that includes the software Atlas, the GPS software, and the GPS receiver. It's everything you need to plug into your GPS.
How about just the Atlas upgrade?
Atlas upgrade alone is, I think, $129.
What's the size of a GPS?
We have two models. One is the size of a cell phone. The other looks like a mouse. That's the antenna and the receiver all in one little container. Phone number. The Sendero Group phone number is 530-757-6800. And that's really for development, or we're not handling the tech support or sales there. If you want to find out your local dealer, call Beyond Sight at 303-795-6455. And I also mention, if any of you are looking for programming opportunities, our group of eight people, six of us are blind or visually impaired, and we have some other projects on the table, and would particularly like people who would subcontract and work on projects on the side.
Mike? Yes. Question. What would be the price of your palm top computers to go with this to make a complete system?
The smallest one I've seen is a Casio that's $1,700. There's others that are that go up in price from there.
Mr. Jones?
Yeah. Fujitsu, Sony.
Does that Casio actually have the power to run like all the software?
That Casio is a 233 megahertz with a 3 gig hard drive.
Windows 98.
But that one
holds the whole.
That'll hold the whole country and then some. The whole country is 2 gigabytes.
Mike, I just want to double check on something. The hardware and the software package, what would that run completely approximately?
I'd come by the booth and we can give you some more details. I think you asked what the hardware would be. It's $429 for an upgrade, including the hardware. Can't buy the hardware separately.
I'll tell you in all honesty what I'm thinking about. I come from Jacksonville, Florida, which is a very complex city. The street layouts, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm looking at the paratransit system and that they have no GPS units in the vehicles yet. And I know that we're going to stress they get those in the vehicles, and I'm wanting to know about this package deal. If it could be a package deal like this to be put into these units.
I'll help you beat up on them.
I'm beating on them, but...
Okay, well, I'd be glad to help you and give them some sort of package or price or see what we can work out.
Okay.